Hello and welcome to Take Cover Seattle Storm podcast, your source for game analysis and news with your host, Andrew McDonald.
Hello and welcome to Take Cover. It's the Seattle Storm podcast with your host, that's me, Andrew McDonald. I hope you like that little bit of a dramatic intro we just had. So, to kick us off then, we'll have a few things we'll look at before we get into the game, which we'll be covering of the Seattle Storm versus the Phoenix Mercury, 14th of May, 2022. So the first thing we'll have a look at is, what is the Commissioner's Cup? Because at the start of every game so far for the Storm has been a Commissioner's Cup game, so it'd be especially good for us to understand just briefly what is the format of that and what are the players competing for, especially since the Storm won it last year and Stewie was named MVP. Lovely jubbly. Then we also have a little brief news update on Brittany Griner's situation, as well as roster information on Brianna Turner. Then we'll get started into the game itself, getting into the first and second quarters, then having a look at Jewel Lloyd's big third quarter, then rounding off with a series of unfortunate events in the fourth quarter that ultimately led to the Seattle Storm's loss. And then rounding off as we do with what can we take away, what are some of the positives, what are some of the negatives, and what can we look at for the next game. So, let's get started. Mario Kart engines ready to go. Dun, dun, dun. Boom! Let's get going. Heck yeah. So, starting us off then, the Commissioner's Cup. And this is just from Wikipedia. As it says, the Commissioner's Cup consists of regular season games, 10 games per team, designated to count towards cup play. The team from each conference with the top record in the designated cup games will then compete for the Commissioner's Cup title and a special prize pool. Cup games are the first home and first road game each team plays against its five conference rivals. And the Cup brings back the Eastern and Western Conference rivalry that the WNBA used in its playoff tournament until the 2015 WNBA playoffs. Lovely jubbly. So then we get into exactly what is the prize for winning the Commissioner's Cup. That is, the top prize tops out at $500,000, $500,000, with each team winning around about $30,000 for each player, as well as the team's MVP taking home an additional $5,000. And on the losing team side, players will earn $10,000 each. And then the winning team also earns an additional $165,000 for charitable and civic organizations. So that nicely starts us off with exactly what is the Commissioner's Cup? What's been going on with all these last few games with the Storm, in case you see the little cup logo next to the games? Next, then, let's get into the news on Brittany Griner. Unfortunately, it's not any great news whatsoever. Unfortunately, her detainment has been extended for another 30 days, and we had that absolutely just gut-wrenching, heartbreaking image that we've seen of Brittany all over Twitter, of her head down with her hoodie covering her head and her hands in handcuffs. And it's just so heartbreaking to see, made me so upset as well as seeing it, as well as so angry that she's in the situation that she is. And there's a recent statement from Brittany's agent, Lindsay Kagawa-Colas, which states The U.S. government has determined that she has been officially designated as wrongfully detained, regardless of the Russian legal system proceedings. She has now been held for 85 days, and we expect the White House to use all options available to immediately and safely bring Brittany home. This will help protect the sanctity of sport and support the confidence of all athletes traveling abroad, which is also another key point in all this. We have so much athletes traveling here, there, and elsewhere, as we do, not just for basketball, but for all sports. And of course, this is going to be a key thing for saying, in this given situation, in this time period, through the actions it's taken, is going to show also support for potential future instances where this happened, and also help to protect athletes in the future, in future given circumstances. And all what, of course, they want to do is just go out and compete and just go out and play whichever sport it is that they would like to do. So let's move on from the Brittany Griner situation, as well as we said last episode, and hopefully the whole situation manages to get sorted out sooner rather than later. Next, let's go on to some Phoenix Mercury roster news, which is also said on the broadcast watching the game. Here we have some more details about it, is that the Phoenix Mercury has signed Brianna Turner to a multi-year contract extension with the team. Hooray for Brianna Turner. Great news for her. Of course, is one of the key things for the Mercury as well for Brianna Turner, is she's one of the key defensive, I was going to use the word pivot, but anchors. You know what I mean. One of the defensive anchors for the whole team. And this is from Arizona Sports website, as it says here. As I've said many times, we want high character, high effort players on our team, and Brianna Turner exemplifies that, General Manager Jim Pittman said in a press release. We also want players who want to be here in the Valley, of course, which is Phoenix, as members of our Mercury and Suns organization and in our community, and Breezy exemplifies that as well. Getting this extension done speaks to how highly we value her now and how much we believe in her potential moving forward. So absolutely congratulations. Fantastic news to Brianna Turner. And of course, always a pleasure to see her on the Mercury and given whichever team it is, what for, as we like to see here in the UK. Give that team what for. Have at them. Have at thee. So, now then, let's get stuck into the game itself. Let's get our teeth all into it, all nice and juicy, lovely jubbly. So, no surprise whatsoever for the roster news for the Storm that Brianna Stewart, Stewie, and Epiphany Prince is still out with COVID protocol. But, of course, now what's one of the news pieces that comes along with that is Brianna Stewart has said it's all due to the fact of commercial travel. So there's a thing within the WNBA that all the women travel commercially rather than in the NBA where the men have their own private jets. Now, that comes into be a big play, of course, and a big thing because we've had, not just with Stewie and Epiphany Prince, but also there was a player on the Washington Mystics recently as well that have all caught COVID due to traveling commercially. And of course, what's the problem with that is there's no mask mandate in the US whatsoever, as well as we have no one here in the UK either, which is crazy when you think about it, considering that COVID is still very much there. Of course, it can't literally say, hey, I'm COVID, but you get the idea. You get the whole sense of, well, we should be still masking up. We should be still taking precautions, everyone. So, case in point, Stewie and Epiphany Prince still out. So, the same rules for the last game come into effect this game, what's going to be the difference? And we saw straight away that Noel Quinn made a key change to the roster for the starters for the Storm. So we have, starting off for the Storm, Sue Bird, Joel Lloyd, Gabby Williams, Ezzy McMagor, Stephanie Talbot. Dun, dun, dun. Why is this such a big thing? Is because Jantel Lavender started in the lineup in the last game versus the Mercury. So now it's Stephanie Talbot. Why is this such a thing? And why is it so important? Is because it changes the complex of the team, or let's say makeup of the team, to be a small ball lineup with Stephanie given the garden duty, as she's a fantastic defender that she is, for Tina Charles. So ultimately we have Stephanie Talbot at 6'2", who is guarding Tina Charles at 6'4". And why was this move made? As you can see from Noel Quinn's mind, we put somebody great defensively on Tina Charles. We can shut her down. We could make her struggle in the paint. We can make things just harder for her. And of course, that's exactly what happened in the game. Because last game, Tina Charles scored 22 points and 11 rebounds. Do you want that again? No, thank you very much. You can have it back. Just like when your mom would give you a really horrible frozen dinner. Like, would you like this? No, mom, no. Put the frozen dinner back. No. Ah. So we have the Stars for the Storm. Then we go into the Phoenix Mercury and their stars. So then we have Brianna Turner, Tina Charles, Dana Taurasi, Shea Petty, and Skylar Diggins-Smith. So we get stuck then from our starting rosters into the game itself. And it was a fast-paced game. My golly gosh. As I was trying to keep notes, that was an adventure in and of itself. You tried to keep your pen and paper going, but my golly gosh, there was so much going on at the same time. It was a whole game in and of itself, trying to take notes whilst watching the game. So we have a fantastically fast-paced game, both teams looking to run in transition, back and forth, very quick, paced. Lovely to see. Also, what was amazing on both sides as well was ball movement. As I told my little girl as well, she was like, what? I love good ball movement. She's like, Dad, is that appropriate? Yes. Yes, it is appropriate, because it's always one of those key things. Once you have the ball moving fast and quick, the ball moves at a faster speed than a human does. So therefore, fantastic things happen. So we have great passing, great ball movement, as well as fast-paced game. Now, who are the ones that came out to play? Oh my golly gosh, what a game for Ezzy McMagor. Oh my gosh. It couldn't be said how fantastic Ezzy really had. Big first half as well. Overall, imposing her will, blocking lots of shots, rebounding, and also a couple of steals cheekily just put in there as well. She got 3 defensive rebounds, 4 blocks on Tina Charles, Brianna Turner, Skylar Diggins-Smith, and Diamond DeShields, and his 2 steals were from bad passes from Tina Charles and Skylar Diggins-Smith. As well as not to be left out of all this fun and all this action is Stephanie Talbot, who had a huge impact with the number of rebounds that she had. And just for that first half, she had 8 rebounds. So it was absolutely incredible to see this combination of Ezzy going at work, Stephanie doing all those rebounds, and it was just fantastic all around, fast-paced game, absolutely great defensively as well. On the opposite side of things, so then we go into Phoenix. Diana Taurasi had a game, which is really, you could say that mostly about one of the best players for women's basketball ever. Yeah, they had a game. And so Diana Taurasi in really the first quarter, my God, she was like Steph Curry. She was just shooting, and everything was just going in. And it was threes, and those were some deep threes as well for a couple of them as well. You were like, oh my gosh, one of those jaw droppers. You know when somebody hits it from the nearly the logo and your jaw just grows? Whoa! It's like, wow! And it's like, yeah! Even as a member of like the opposing side as we are as Storm fans, you're still seriously impressed over here. Clap, clap. Hooray! That's what we love to see, is some great basketball going on at work. So, Diana Taurasi, first half, 15 points, shooting those 3 points, 5 for 8. My God, 5 for 8. What a percent, because that is 62.5%. Thank you, calculator. Thank you, math. 62% on threes. Oh my God, what an absolute number. As well as for the Mercury side of things, tons of assists in their side, 11 overall in the first half, and their main culprits for that is 4 for Skylar Diggins-Smith and 3 for Diamond DeShields. And then overall, how do we end up at the end of the first half leading into the third quarter is the Mercury up by 2, Mercury score at 34 and the Storm at 32. So, Storm, we got a work to do. Let's go out and hoop. And hoop is exactly what happened next. And the name of hoop is Jewel Lloyd. That would be great on a t-shirt. And the name of hoop is Jewel Lloyd. Because my goodness, in the third, Jewel Lloyd, she really showed why her name is the Gold Mamba, or Gold Mamba. My goodness, that Mamba was just glistening in gold in the third quarter. She was hitting threes, she was driving and getting fouled, she was making all those free throws. It was an absolutely beautiful thing to see. She only scored 7, but my God, it felt like 27. She was just hitting absolutely everything going in, and she had overall 17 points by the end of the third quarter. However, there's a little asterisk we need to put in there. There was a bit of a scary moment that happened in the third, and that's when Jill gets fouled by Diamond DeShields as she's running in for a drive and layup. What then happens is that she hard bumps into Diana Taurasi. What's Diana doing? She's coming over to block the shot, and that hard bump, smack, boom, and then you have Jewel lying on the floor for a minute and needing to recollect herself and get herself back together. So, apart from that, absolutely amazing quarter for Jewel. Absolutely just amazing performance. Chef's kiss. Mwah! Fantastic. As well as the team continued its amazing rebounding and those rebound numbers as well. 11 rebounds, 4 for Ezzie and 5 for Stephanie Talbot. As well as what kept on crept up in my notes as we went through the game is great defense. Stephanie Talbot, great defense. And that's exactly what was happening, is that Stephanie Talbot had some amazing defense that was happening as well, of stopping people driving in the paint, and particularly on Tina Charles and their ability to score as well. So absolutely amazing defensive quarter for Stephanie Talbot at the same time. As I said here, I've got in my notes, excellent. Stephanie Talbot's defense was like that Wayne's World, you know, like, excellent, dude. You know, like, oh, I'll stop embarrassing myself now. So, then we jump into the last quarter, and we have lots of action, of course, all happening. And then in the midst of all that, we have a fun moment that happens around about 4 minutes and 37 seconds to go, What is that fun moment? It's a jump ball situation with Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi. So, what is fun, of course, is to see the two goats go toe-to-toe. Ha ha ha! Okay, I'm meaning this pun to be completely intended at this point. Then, there's a funny exchange because Sue Bird's wired up, which means that you can hear absolutely everything that Sue's saying whenever the broadcast goes to her to see exactly what's going on. At one point in the broadcast, it was sort of Sue just shouting out commands and saying to various different people, go here, go there, and so forth. But this one, they got right into it and we got a little bit of the exchange. So the exchange roughly was, Sue goes to Diana, I had the ball. Diana replies, no, I had the ball, then you fouled me. And you had the ball. Then Sue replies, no, you fouled me and grabbed my arm. So Diana goes, no way. Sue goes, way, way. I just love that. Way, way. You know, not like, yeah, you did. Way, way. Way, way, you did. Okay. Then we get into the crux of the matter. Then we get into the last few minutes of the game itself. And so one of our key points is that it's a 3-point game with 2 minutes and 23 seconds to go. And of course, a lot of things happen in those last few minutes and last few possessions. As well as another interesting point before we just get into all what happened is, no side for either the Storm or the Mercury led by more than 4 points the entire game. So the entire game was a close game the whole way, back and forth, like a literal tug of war, pulling one way, pulling the other way, pulling one way, and so forth. And absolutely just fantastic game of basketball to see. So, let's get into those last few minutes. That sequence of unfortunate events. First, it was that Jewel had a clear line to the basket to make a layup. She lost the handle of the ball. It goes to bounce to go out. She tries to save it, but passes it out of bounds whilst trying to keep the ball into play. And that would have tied the lead up by to at least 1 point or something like that. Then we go into really crux time, in the crucial few seconds and so forth to go. Breanne January makes an inbound steal. Stephanie Talbot passes to Gabby Williams, but then, Gabby passes back to Stephanie, and there's a little asterisk. But either the ball is deflected by Diana Taurasi, or that Stephanie doesn't notice the pass. And it was sort of said on the broadcast as well whilst watching it. It wasn't 100% sure if in fact Diana had put her hand on the ball. Because the call goes the other way, that simply Gabby threw it to Stephanie and she didn't notice. Then what happens is the ball goes into the backcourt. Jewel goes after it and it's a backcourt violation. Ball goes back to Phoenix. Then what happens, of course, is inbound to Sue. Then she misses the big three at the end of the game to tie the game. Then there was a fun quote from Diana Taurasi to really round off the game. And she said, what did she think of Sue trying to make that 3-point shot? And she sort of says, as I said, paraphrasing here, I always expect her to hit that shot. So then I thought, I'll be having to play another 5-minute quarter when I'm already tired. Which I just thought was fantastic. It's like, oh no, Sue's going to make that. And there I go. I'm already tired. I just want to shower. I just want to relax. But nope, I'm going to have to do it. But nope, that's not how things turned out. And the Mercury win the game. So let's get into the overall stats for the game itself, with the final score being Phoenix Mercury 69 to Seattle Storm 64. So then, Let's go into our last segment for the podcast and our overall summary and overall discussion of the game itself. So, we only had one Storm player over 10 points, who was Jewel Lloyd, as of course we sung her praises so much so already. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. As well as we had big rebound games, as we mentioned, for Stephanie Talbot and Essie McMagor, both also close to 10 points. We had Stephanie Talbot at 8 points, 14 rebounds, which was 6 offensive, 8 defensive with 3 assists. And Essie had 8 points, 10 rebounds, 2 offensive and 8 defensive. Meanwhile, the Mercury only had 3 players over 10 points, which is Dana Taurasi at 24 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Skylar Diggins-Smith having a great game at 14 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. As well as Diamond DeShields having a great game at 11 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. As well as it has to be mentioned, even though they weren't big in the scoring column for things, Tina Charles for the Mercury and Brianna Turner gave them the huge lift in rebounds. Tina Charles, 10 rebounds, all defensive, and Brianna Turner, 14 rebounds, 4 offensive, 10 defensive. So we just had a fun stat as well that I wanted to mention that I found on Twitter, as you do when you scroll through Twitter and find fun things. And this is from Kevin Pelton, who covers the NBA at ESPN and also covered the Storm basketball for 10 years. As his little tweet says, Sue Bird's 8 three-point attempts in the game without a make were the most in her WNBA career. She'd gone 0 for 7 twice. So, ultimately, what can we say this about Sue's rough game? It's an anomaly. Things like this don't really happen. Even the commentators are sort of bamboozled of why is at least one of these threes not going in? It's because Sue has consistently had made umpteen dozen. That's a good British way of saying they made umpteen dozen of this. She'd made a ton of threes all prior to that, all consistently. I think it was at least over 30 consecutive for every single game. So at least we could say, moving for next game, this is just pure anomaly for Sue Bird. She should be back on track. Absolutely no bother. So let's get into a little bit of the stats and the numbers for the game itself. Shooting percentage for the Storm was terrible. 31.2%. The 3-point shooting percentage also for the Storm was terrible, 25%. Both teams are even in rebounds, with the Mercury slightly ahead, 42 for the Mercury and 39 for the Storm. The Storm also had a slightly higher number of steals than the Mercury, with the number of steals for the Storm 8 and Mercury 6. And then we had a huge difference in the number of blocks, which you have to say, yay, Essie McMagor for this. 8 big blocks for the Storm to 2 blocks for the Mercury. And then the Mercury also had a higher number of assists, which is 19 for the Mercury to the Storm's 12 assists. So a 7 assist difference. And then the last thing I want to look at and have a quick discussion of is the Storm shooting compared to our previous game so far. So for this game versus the Mercury, the shooting percentage is the worst so far at 31%. The last game it was at 38%. Versus the Aces it was at 35%. And then versus the Lynx it was 53%. And then for 3-point percent, it's also the worst so far at 25%. The last game, it was 39.3%. Much better, closer to that magic number of 40% that we want to get towards. Versus the Aces, it was at 32.4%. And then against the Lynx, it was at 48%. So really rough stretch for the last little bit for the Storm so far. So what can we say overall that we need to focus on for the Seattle Storm? No surprise, there needs to be a focus upon offense, a focus upon improving field goal percentage, as well as three-point shots. However, on the positive end of things, what can we say? Keep up the great work on steals, rebounds, and blocks. As well as we could say, we need more production than just one player, which has been a thing that's been hanging over several games now. We need more production than just Jewel, and prior to that, more production than just Stewie. We need everybody to get going. So that wraps up our discussion of the game versus the Mercury. What is the next game coming up is the Chicago Sky on the 19th of May. And I've got a great little tagline, Candace Parker. Normally it's blue skies in Chicago, but it's going to be green skies and storms for you. If only I had a Vincent Price style voice, that would be much better. But still, hopefully we can make all those wonderful offensive moves and everything will be all like that initial game that kicked us off versus the Lynx versus our next game against the Chicago Sky. In the meantime, feel free to check out the Twitter at Seattle Storm Pod. Also, feel free to drop me an email at the address seattlestormpodcast@gmail.com. Email any questions that you like, as well as any discussion topics you think, that would be a good one for Andrew to have a little blather about. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll have a little blather about that then. So, I hope you enjoyed my little blather about the game versus the Phoenix Mercury. I will see everybody for the next game versus the Chicago Sky.